And we're going back to the All-Stars camp now. And Loz, you've got, premiership winner and one of the big figures of the game in Andrew Fifita with you.
Yeah, good morning, Minnow. Morning, Pup. Morning, everybody. Yeah, we've got a big figure, a massive figure, actually, in the team and massive figure in the NRL, Andrew Fifita. He's been a part of this game now for a number of years. And, you know, towards the back end of last season, he suffered a serious injury and we all thought that his footy career may be over. And I'm sure he had some doubts himself, but he's joined us this morning. Very good morning, Andrew Fifita. Sorry, mate.
Morning, lads. How's it going? I was a bit on mute there, but well, good. How are you going?
Yeah, going well, mate. Tell us about that injury, mate, because I was speaking to you the other day about how it all unfolded. If you could tell the boys in the studio and our listeners how it all happened and unfolded.
Yeah, I copped just a blow. Two big men going at it, and you know, it was just one of those freak of nature accidents, and that would be Clem. And you know, we've been Clem with Origin. I know he was stressing that, but just complete accident coming up, and then I copped the whack to the neck in the wrong way. I didn't really take notice of it, but in the game, there was symptoms through the game where I was fully fatigued and the little things that he didn't take seriously. And I walked off the side, off the field, and I lost my voice and actually fractured my larynx. It's very high, so it's not your voice box, it's up your larynx, but it affects your voice box. In ways, so yeah, I fractured it and I didn't take it seriously until after the game, and kind of went out and I was filthy we lost. Like it was, if we won, kind of guaranteed us in that spot where, you know, we're in the semis no matter what, or and you know, I went off the field, I was absolutely gutted that, you know, that should have been the game we should have won. We only lost by 2 points, and that was more on my mind than actually my health. So went and told the doctor, look, I copped, well, I was like whispering it at the time, and said, I copped the knock in my throat, but, you know, send me in the morning and tell you how it goes. And then he was like, oh, and the lady doctor told Bick, goes, I think, Andrew, you might send me outside. And I said, I'll be back, I'm going to have a shower, and then I come down, and the time I come back out, it started really hitting me, and I kept asking Bick for an asthma puffer. I said, I need to open my lungs, I need to, like, I felt I could feel it closing, and and then once you said it, it just went from level 50 to straight to 100, and didn't help the ambulances didn't get there in time. Like, it was really starting to hit like a ton of bricks.
And how long did you spend in hospital, and how emotional were you, and did you think about your football career was over? Did you think about your family? Did you think about how close you came to maybe death?
Yeah, look, I'm not going to lie, it hasn't been the easiest pre-season. Look, from that moment, I've not really stopped. It's always been rehab, because, look, I was in... So when I went in, my partner and the other fellow boys, I had a concussion knock, and they all thought it was for that. I ended up getting put into... So they, as I got to the hospital, they seen I was like, my oxygen was at 48. Like, so from Redcliffe to Brisbane Hospital, they said, look, Redcliffe Hospital couldn't do anything for me. They didn't have the tools, and I was lucky a guy was listening on the radio, and he was doing the cleaning, and he was the second in charge surgeon for next. And he goes, oh, something. And he goes, look, we're going to rush Andrew to Brisbane. Can you meet us halfway? And I had to change. They changed guys, so they literally changed and got some specialists on. And lucky for our doc, Bick, he was in the vehicle and said, look, if it comes to it, I'm going to cut him. It comes to that moment. Mm. And as soon as we got to hospital, it was just, they had to cut my throat. They had to do it. Always. I was already at oxygen levels where 48, and where your normal would be between 90 and 100. So it really come down to, I just remember doing the text message. Like I voice recorded to my wife, just to say to the kids, make sure they always get this, want to play it on their wedding night. I was just thinking everything for kids. It comes to that point in my journey where I thought, you know, we're gone. It was, I got placed in the induced coma. I didn't realize all this. And then a week later, you know, I went to sleep on game day and woke up on game day. It was bizarre when the doctor told me, like, it's been that long, couldn't talk, I was paralyzed. I thought they fully... did something in my neck. I was trying to move my arms. I could only move my left arm. My left arm was just kind of swaying, if you know what I mean, trying to lift. And I was looking at the docs going, it's so hard, like, I couldn't speak. And but in my mind, I was going off my head, like, what have you done to me? First thing when I woke up, I said, where's my shorts? Sorry for my tears. I said to the doctors, I had these shark shorts on, so I was like, they're being stripped off. I was complaining. I was like, where's my wife? It's been 5 minutes. And she's told me, like, she's on her way. And I said, she's still not here. And they're like, so I seen the heroes on. I was going off. I was like, wait, my wife said she's 5 minutes away. We've got no family in Brisbane. And then they just said, look, it's been 7 days. And yeah, it was... look, from that moment on, it's been the toughest. I give it to everyone. Like the neck, I recovered from quite quickly. It was they were going to put another big scar across it where it actually scarred well, and you can barely see it, but it goes up in the middle of range of my neck. I've still got the trachea hole where that's covered over, but it's from being in a coma where fully paralyzed to learn to walk again, learn to kind of run again. That was the toughest part. And I mean mentally, I never knew, like I know everything when it comes to that side, but I had a massive fear problem. And I think I noticed when, you know, it got to maybe day 14 in hospital where my wife I think I'm at a state where like I had to hold kind of like the button. I had a button at the stage, but still the pipe where I could push it and be able to talk. Kind of in a way, and they wanted to see what my voice was like, if it was just going to be air or if it was going to be some kind of voice. So I'm grateful I still got my voice. It's changed a bit, it's gone a bit deeper, but look, I'm just be happy to talk. So I had my kids come in, and it was the first time, and you could see, like, and I don't like want to see it on anyone's face, but they were actually scared. It was like I was a monster, and I just explained to them, look, and I was in tears and just said, look, it's still dad at the time, you know what I mean? It's something you don't want to show, but we were sitting on the bed, and that's how I knew something psycho, like, well, I had to see my psycho to get over this fear thing, because someone my missus dropped their phone on the floor, and instead of, like, it was sweet, I was hearing it 10 times louder than actually it was. So you just simple drop your phone. I jumped from the bed all the way to the corner like something seriously has happened.
An explosion.
Yeah, so got to explain the traumatic stuff and all that kind of stuff, but the whole off-season, there was things that would trigger me. I never knew nothing. I forgot about everything that happened. So the little things that I knew where I drove past the airport and I seen this plane coming in, and I remember the mask getting dropped. From me thinking about that, brought back every moment in that ambulance. I forgot about the voice message. I messaged it. And lucky my missus never got it, because I typed one number in wrong. So she never got it, and I'm so glad she never got it, because if you hear the voice message, it's really daunting. It's me gasping for air, trying to get little things out, and then little things out. And
unbelievable.
For me, and I said to my wife, do you want to hear this? Because it's pretty horrific. And she's like, nah, I don't want to hear it. Because if that's, I think, for your partner, you don't want to hear anyone on their deathbed saying this. So I was only meant to be in for 2 days in that induced coma, but it was setback after setback after setback, like in there, like, so the worst was they cut it, and I got a big neck, and they thought I was a 7-inch with the pipe overnight. It moved, and that's a bad thing. Like it stops your breathing. They couldn't figure out what was going on. They slipped me open, and then the next day they went back in and said something's not right. He's not breathing properly. He's not, something's going on, and my lungs were filling up with blood. Gosh. I got pneumonia, and then I was dying while I was laying there. These are all thoughts that come back. So when you're in a coma, induced coma, you know everything was going on. My wife was like a bit skeptical on that kind of stuff, where she was like, oh, he's just out cold, he's out of sleep. But I knew everyone who'd come in. That was the thing. I knew everyone.
So while you were under,
so the doc, our general manager, my wife, my brother, like through, I could hear him and that, and but she knew straight away when she played my kids, I started crying. So it was weird, but I remember, like, to get through it was all, my psych was my main rehab.
So obviously you faced your fears then and was confronted with your fears in the off season, pre-season. Yeah. How do you reckon you'll feel in the sheds? Because you've been cleared to play.
Yeah.
But how do you think you'll feel mentally before you run out there on Saturday night? Because that's going to be a big challenge.
Yeah, that's it. Like, I've done a lot of work up to date with my psych, and based around that, he showed me fears, he showed me little stuff. And look, I'm not going to lie to you. It's one of those things that I'm more prepared, and everyone says about preparation and that, but I said to the missus, now it's starting to hit. Mm. Like, it's getting closer and closer. And I was watching the training days. I said, oh, there you go, 4 days ago. And then it's going to get tougher and tougher. But, like we talked about, like conquering over fear, it's one of the things that everyone goes through it. And it's that barrier you need to break through. And I've had other hurdles in my life where we've hurdled. And he goes, it's a new one. And he told me his things that he's gone through, like with his philosophy on it. So it's weird how my guy goes, oh, you know, I went through 10 different psychs and I couldn't click with any of them until you find the right one. Mm. You know, he pretty much, so I think the last thing I will do, I literally will go out and try and give my wife a hug. Because I remember when I first come out and went out to the game, I just wanted to go around the change room and say, make sure you go tell your loved one you love them. Mm. Make sure you tell this because you don't know. And then I think that will be the last message you would go out, just my wife, and just say, I'm okay, I'm going to be sweet. And
because they'll be worried about you.
Yeah.
Your family will be worried about you.
My family didn't want to come to the game because they were scared. So.
Why, Andrew? Why, you've made every level. You've achieved so much and had an unbelievable career already. And I sit here now and hear your story and I'm like, man, how have you got the courage to still keep playing? And I have no doubt you love rugby league and always will, but... Yeah. Why are you still doing it? You know, like, you're a freak. You honestly, to go through that, bro, and to still have the balls to go again, I'm like, you're a freak.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's where my mum asked me that. My wife sees me every day and she sees me do the work I put in.
Yeah.
Once the doc told me it's not career ending, if they put the plate in where they were going to do it and they said, look, we'll wait till he wakes up tomorrow and he can choose. It actually, me being in the induced coma for so long, it actually healed itself. And they just said, look, we don't need to put a plate in, so your career won't be done. And once I hear that, I guess as a professional athlete, that's the words that you want to hear.
Mm,
and yeah. Look, I'm all about goal setting. I make my goals, the little things, but I feel like this was like a hurdle that I needed. And I need to, that goal's right there and that's Saturday night. And I know I could do it, but it's just, for me, like it's still a journey. And for me, it's the story afterwards.
Yeah.
I made it from that and I'll be forever grateful. But then, you put your family and all that kind of thing. And, I put my trust in the doctors and say, it's sweet. I know Fitzy and all the boys at training were scared and for me to come in, but I just, look, he's got to trust me here. And
yeah.
If I'm more than comfortable, like we've had some hell of training with against other boys and young Cam McGuinness and Dale Finucane and their blokes that train, they just, I don't think the game, like they simulate the game pretty hard. We've done heaps of wrestling sessions. So I feel like I'm more than capable to go out in the game. So it's just one of those goals, and I get to fulfill. And
awesome.
I've, through past things, I've achieved goals in my life, and it's been that special. But this one will be this will be up there with one of the best.
Yeah.
So.
Amazing to listen to in detail.
Unbelievable respect for the courage you got. Yeah, that's freakish.
Incredible. Just want to ask you before you go, Andrew, and don't give him too much of a rap, but what does Loz mean to this Indigenous All-Star side?
They've been bagging me all.
Apart from the worst coach on the planet, we already know that.
I've had Loz through my whole Origin career. I love coming to camp, and especially as Loz's coach, especially in this camp. There's two different Loz's you get. There's big and
sober and drunk. Yeah. That's the two different Loz's you get.
So you just say when it's time for football, Loz is like, you're serious. You don't want to push his buttons or anything. But when off the field, mate, he's one of the brothers out here. This camp means a lot. I could see it. I've been in here for over 10, I think 11 years now, where he's brought us right through. he's part of the journey, and like I just want to be there. I'd love to see come in like for the next few years and see where it leads us. But I guess in saying that, like it's good that we have someone like Loz a part of us. If we bring someone else into this camp, I think they would get a bit flustered. Where Loz is the most culturally aware for us. Look, it's hard, like because. We're talking about the great Laurie Darling. So, but I don't to you, so you can take the mickey out of him. But like,
don't worry, mate. Listen, he still walks around with his jersey on. He tells everyone he's the great Laurie Daly. Don't worry about that.
He always said if something went down with the halves, he wants to go first.
Yeah, exactly right.
He'll give you the best 30 seconds.
That's exactly right. I said 30 seconds.
So, we always got the 20-off man ready to go. So, he's just straight out of the coach's box. He said, "Where's my boots? Let's get them." So you just dust them off.
Oh, I love it. Well, mate, thank you so much for your time. And yeah, it'll be awesome to watch you run out, considering particularly the detail you've just given us and all our listeners. Congratulations on basically your recovery from such a serious injury. And enjoy the rest of the week and enjoy the season with the Sharks as well, Andrew.
No, thank you very much. Thanks, guys, for having me.